consider the disposables in your life. Light bulbs, plastic spoons, maybe the gas that goes in your car. Now think about what lasts, what really lasts. Does education make your list? Today, we talk about how higher education can help the world save itself from itself. Sustainability in higher education is the subject of an upcoming conference at Eugene, and our guest today is the host and keynote speaker at that conference. She knows a thing or two about staying power in higher ed. She has a bachelor's, a master's, a law degree, and a doctorate. Now she's president of Lane Community College, where she's held that post for the last 15 years. Before that, she served two terms as Lane Community College's vice president. And in a few days, she will be keynoting the Oregon Higher Education Sustainability Conference. Here to riff on its theme of empowering tomorrow's change makers, I want to welcome Dr. Mary Spilde to the program. Hi, Dr. Spilde.
Good morning. Glad to be with you this morning, Emily.
I'm glad you're here. So, Dr. Spilde, you've been at LCC for a number of years. Could you tell us how the student body has changed over, say, the last 15 or 20?
Yes, I've been at Lane for 20 years altogether, and during that time, each year, Lane serves about 30 to 36,000 students every single year. And I would say that during the recession, what we were seeing was increased numbers of people who weren't able to keep or find a job coming back to school to use that time productively to upgrade their skills. We still get our fair share of new high school graduates coming to Lane, but our average age is about 28 years old. So we really span from high school students all the way to people in their 50s and 60s who still see education as a way to either get into or stay in the economic mainstream. Of course, like many other colleges in Oregon, we are seeing increased diversity, an increase in the number of Latino, Latina students that come to Lane Community College. And we are trying to make sure that all of those students feel welcome and have a place in higher education in Oregon.
And have the demographics, you mentioned some economic factors there, as well as an increasing Latino or Latino population. Are you seeing these things translate in different ways that students want to engage with information or different learning models?
Well, certainly the digital natives, those students who are coming to us having always grown up with cell phones and iPads, that has an impact because they expect those tools to be used in their education. Of course, technology, in my view, does not replace educators. But it should be used and can be used to enhance the pedagogy in the classroom. And I think now students who are coming to us, particularly young students who have grown up in social media, using social media and using technology, expect to see that reflected in the way we do our work at Lane. So that has presented us with questions about how we do that, how we use the technology so that it really enhances the student experience.
We are talking with Dr. Mary Spilde, president of Lane Community College. You're welcome to take part, 800-838-3760, or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Dr. Spilde, you were just talking about some of the demographics of the student body at Lane Community College, something like 30 to 36,000 students from, I would think, all walks of life coming through the doors, or perhaps not the doors, perhaps utilizing more online courses and more technologically based ways of access education. What about your faculty? I started out asking you how the student body has changed. How has the faculty changed?
Well, the faculty at Lane, just like administrators at Lane and as in every other college and university, is a graying faculty. People that come to Lane to work, to teach, tend to stay here. And we, of course, continue to hire. We'll be filling about 12 faculty positions this year. What I would say, although our faculty are getting a little older, it doesn't mean that they haven't stayed very active in their disciplines and very active in the pedagogy of that discipline so that they can find out what's going on in their disciplines nationally, what is happening in the classroom with those disciplines, and then adapting and changing the way they teach to reflect the best of their discipline and to meet changing student demographics and changing student needs.
Now, Lane Community College actually has a year-round institute for sustainable practices. Is that a rarity for a community college to have a program like that?
Well, Lane was involved in sustainability issues long before it was hip to be green. I mean, we started in the 80s with recycling. We had an energy management program that educated students to go out into the world and look at facilities and find out and figure out what could be done to make them more sustainable. But over the last 20 years or so, I would say that most colleges and universities have done something in the area of sustainability, whether it's the way they think about their operations, the way they think about their facilities, how they educate and train people for green jobs. I would say that most colleges and universities are at least thinking about this. I would believe that Lane was a leader in this. We were one of the first 12 colleges to sign on to the American Colleges and Universities President's Climate Commitment. I served on the steering committee for that group, and now there are over 600 institutions of higher education across the country, from Harvard to community colleges, that are absolutely engaged in embedding sustainability in the way we do our work.
Now, being on the forefront of, I think, a movement that many institutions perhaps find difficult to implement or expensive or untenable for various reasons, what kind of challenges has Lane Community College faced greening up and creating, maybe focus in here on the facilities and the operations, and we can touch on curriculum in a few minutes.
Well, it has been challenging because Oregon is the 46th in the country for the funding of higher education.
Did you say 46th?
46th out of 50 in terms of the state investment in higher education. That's community colleges and universities. So we have had to do it without a huge infusion of money. So if you don't have a huge infusion of money, you've really got to think about how to embed it. So we start with a core value of sustainability. And the values of the college, there are seven of them, sustainability being one of them, really drives our behavior, it drives our decisions. It's very embedded in our strategic directions. We have a strategic direction that focuses on sustainability, and that causes us to create plans, a climate action plan, a transportation plan, the principles of sustainable design that we put into the design of every one of our buildings, whether it's a remodel or a new building. So in terms of the facilities, we are committed to having LEED designation for each one of our buildings. For example, we recently opened a campus downtown, 92,000 square feet, and it has a LEED Platinum designation. Well, how did we get that? We have geothermal energy, so we have pipes that go down into the ground and start with a base temperature of 55, and that goes throughout the building. We have solar. That whole building is a learning lab, so you don't have to go to a class about energy to figure out what's going on with energy in the building. It's very visible all around you, natural light coming into the classrooms. So we are very intentional about designing our buildings so that they meet these standards and use renewable energy. Similarly, our new health and wellness center for our health professions programs is a LEED Gold. And just this week, we opened reopened our center building, which is the largest building on our campus. It houses our library and our food services, social sciences, language, literature, and communication. So we just invested $35 million in renovating that building to make sure that all the services that students need outside the classroom to be successful, study spaces, the library, tutoring, were available in one place.
And this is the Center for Meeting and Learning on the main campus?
Actually, this is the class project,
the
Center
project.
For Learning and Student Success.
Oh, the Center
and
for
Learning. And we, in the design of that building, brought it up to LEED Silver standards. So we just make it a priority. And I think that's what you have to do. We're never going to have enough money to do what we need to do. But our board, administration, faculty, and staff have made this a priority. I would say that often these efforts on campus, they might start with administration or they might start with students. At Lane, it didn't start with me or with the administration. It started because we had a number of very passionate faculty and staff who cared about sustainability, and they started to do things. They started to educate about recycling. They started to infuse it into their curriculum. And suddenly, in the early 2000s, we began to get awards for the work that we were doing. And I began to be asked to go out and talk about this. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I better go find out what we're actually doing. And through that process of being educated by the faculty and staff at Lane, I became a passionate advocate myself. But it started in the organization by people who were passionate. Often students are the driver. Students are saying, you know, you older people are kind of messing up the planet. You didn't do the job that you were supposed to do, and we're going to be left to clean it up. And we demand that in our classes, that in our facilities, in our environment, that sustainability is one of the key things that you think about as you make decisions.
We're talking about Lane Community College and going green before it was hip with Dr. Mary Spilde, president of the college. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or email us jx@jeffnet.org. It sounds like, Dr. Spilde, that the passion you're talking about from faculty, from people who didn't have a lot of funding to make changes in the beginning, kind of mobilized a will to get something done, like a $35 million renovation and some of these energy projects that do take a higher price tag and change the systemic operations of the campus. Was the curriculum for sustainability, did that come before some of the more concrete changes we see, like LEED certified buildings or geothermal energy, you know, putting it on paper and planting the seed in the students' minds?
I think the two were actually happening simultaneously, that once it emerged that this was a value that the college held and wanted to have that drive our behavior, both the facilities changes and the curriculum changes began to happen. You know, of course, none of these things happen. You often have early adopters, passionate people who start the work, and then it begins to be infused across the campus. I would say that our value around sustainability is really what you might call the triple bottom line. I mean, it is about environmental justice, it's about social justice, it's about economic justice. And as a community college that serves the most underrepresented, the most underprepared, the most first generation, and the poorest students in our communities, it's really important that those three go together. And as we're making decisions, we're thinking about the environment, we're thinking about what happens to students in our communities, and we're thinking about how we help them move into the economic mainstream. So I think it's a very holistic look at sustainability from many, many perspectives. And if you think about community colleges serving that population of students, we really were created, most of us in the 60s, to provide access to higher education for everyone, and not just people who were rich or not just the privileged few. And so I think the idea of economic, environmental, and social justice is very much embedded in our missions and in how we do our work. So the sustainability piece is just a very natural thing for us to embed in how we do our work.
So it sounds like sustainability really goes well with the mandate that started Lane Community College and community colleges across the country. How is the scene different for you now that we're well into the 21st century?
Well, you know, I'm finding that I'm very happy with the work that Lane has done and is doing, but there's a lot to be done. I mean, the science is in on climate change now, even although some people don't believe it, but the science is there. And yet we're not doing as much as we need to do to preserve the planet. And it's going to take each one of us all around the world to do that. You know that recently there was a meeting in Paris where many, many countries came together and started to at least make some agreement about how we're going to deal with climate change. Just prior to that, I was invited to a meeting at the White House for higher education to talk about the commitments that higher education could make to further the work to deal with climate change. And it really depends on what we just talked about, the work that we do in how we operate our institutions. Higher ed has a huge footprint mm-hmm. in the buildings that we have. But we also have this opportunity to educate students for the future. We can empower and develop leaders through developing a culture of sustainability. If students see sustainability embedded in a class that they're taking, whether it's a political science class or a science class or a literature class, those are the students that are going to go out into our communities and take jobs, and they can ripple effect these ideas out in the businesses that they go into. And, you know, before you know it, it's not just a student at Lane who understands these issues, but many people in our communities understand those issues. So that's the strength that higher ed can really provide to this effort, is to not just do it in our own facilities and in our own operations, but really moving it out into the community and being a leader and a teacher and an educator on these issues across our communities.
And these issues are the subject of an upcoming conference in Eugene. The theme is Empowering Tomorrow's Changemakers, and it's the annual Oregon Higher Education Sustainability Conference. Dr. Mary Spilde is our guest today and the keynote speaker and the host of that conference. Still time for calls and emails, 800-838-3760, or email us jx@jeffnet.org with your questions about sustainability in higher education. Now, Dr. Spilde, you mentioned earlier sort of the three prongs of sustainability as social, economic, and environmental justice. Do any of the practices or maybe the innovations brewing at Lane Community College address student debt and the overall accessibility of education?
Yes. Obviously, student debt is a concern for all of us in higher education. And the first thing I would say is that it is directly tied to the disinvestment in higher education.
That 46 out of 50
yeah,
funding
that 46 out of 50 issue. When I became president of Lane in 2001, the percent of our budget that was covered by tuition was 22%. Now it's 44%. As the state has withdrawn funding from higher education, the only source of revenue that our local board, elected board, has any authority over is tuition. So if we want to continue to provide the kinds of services and educational offerings that our community needs, they've had to make decisions, tough decisions, to raise tuition. Mm-hmm. And given, as I mentioned earlier, that our students are the most first generation and the poorest students, then they are, most of them, eligible for financial aid. And 84% of the students who come to Lane are eligible for the Pell Grant, the full Pell Grant, which means that they are some of the poorest students in our community. But the Pell Grant might pay for tuition, but it doesn't pay maybe for their living expenses, their food, their books, their child care. Many of our students are parents. And so they have to resort to loans. And that, in my view, is a tragedy. Other countries have figured out how to support at least the first 2 years of higher education. In my own case, I'm from Scotland originally, been here for 40 years, but I'm a first-generation student. My dad left school when he was 14, my mother when she was 15, but they had this great value for education, and our government helped pay for it. My undergraduate degree, my law degree, was entirely covered by our government. And that was, you know, that wasn't yesterday. That was 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So as we hear President Obama talk about America's promise, and even in Oregon's promise, those are steps in the right direction to help deal with student debt, because the first 2 years would be covered, at least with the America's promise. With the Oregon promise, Students would have to use their Pell Grant first, so that still raises the question about living expenses, but at least it's the start of a conversation in Oregon about how we can deal with student debt. And then internally at Lane, we are doing a lot more to educate students about debt. And before they sign that paperwork that gives them a loan, that they understand the implications of that. They understand clearly the obligation that they have to help to pay off that debt in the future, and that they do everything they can to minimize the loans that they take out in order to advance their education and their place in the economic mainstream.
Well, it's a big topic, and with about a minute left, Dr. Spilde, what is the big idea in sustainability on college campuses in 2016?
Well, I think it depends where students are in their evolution. For us, we have a climate change plan that says we're going to be carbon neutral by 2050. That's not that far away, so many of the things we're focusing on are in to advance that climate change plan. For us as a commuter campus, transportation is one of our biggest issues. We work very closely with our local transportation systems. We're looking ahead to having kind of faster speed transportation vehicles coming out to the college so that we can have fewer cars driving onto campus. That is going to be a big focus for us. But I really think it depends on the local situation in any given college, what they've done already, what their issues are, and what they need to do in the future.
Lots to be done and lots of steps already undertaken about sustainability and higher education. Talking with Dr. Mary Spilde, president of Lane Community College and keynote speaker at the upcoming Oregon Higher Education Sustainability Conference. That's happening in Eugene on February 4th and 5th at the LCC main campus. Dr. Spilde, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Emily. I enjoyed our conversation.